This is Theremin 30. 30 minutes of Theremin music, news, events, and interviews with a new episode about every 30 days. Now, here's your host from Denver, Colorado, USA, Rick Reed.
Hello, and welcome to the 18th episode of the Theremin 30 podcast, the only monthly Theremin music podcast in the entire world, at least until somebody convinces me otherwise. In this September 2020 edition, I've got new music from Brazil, the UK, and Japan, and my special guest is Mike Beauchamp, designer of the Therabox electronic musical instrument. Let's get started now with thereminist Alex Mazanovich with a wonderful track he produced just a few months ago in his home studio in Birmingham, England. This is called A Rare Request of Theocentric Heaven.
Thank you.
We started that set with music by Alex Mazanovich. Alex composed, produced, and played all of the instruments on a rare request of Theocentric Heaven. Then we heard a single edit of a new track called 1972 by the Japanese band Anemo, featuring Sayori Kojima, Makoto Kikuchi, and guest musician Sotaro Kira. You can watch Anemo perform the full-length version of 1972 in the Theremin 30 playlist on YouTube. Coming up soon, I've got experimental music from Brazil. And later in the show, I'll visit with Canadian instrument designer Mike Beauchamp, so stay tuned. The Theremin 30 podcast is supported by affiliate programs with Eargasm Earplugs, eBay, Reverb, and Zounds. When you follow these links and banners on our website, a portion of any purchases you make will help keep this show in the ether. So start shopping at theremin30.com. Now it's time to take a look at the Theremin 30 calendar of Theremin events. Lydia Kavanagh continues her weekly online theremin workshops every Sunday from Oxford, England. Andrew Levine has a bunch of live performances scheduled for mid-October in Hamburg, Germany. And a band we heard earlier in the show, Anemo, will be performing at the Big Apple in Kobe, Japan on Halloween night, October 31st. For details on all of these events, follow the links at calendar.theremin30.com. And to get your theremin-related events on the calendar and mentioned in the podcast, send me all the details through the contact form on the Theremin 30 website or on the Facebook page. Now let's listen to some fascinating experimental music by the Brazilian duo Teia. This track is also called Teia, which means web in Portuguese. That was Teia featuring thereminist Juliet Talis and vocalist Inez Terra from their current album, which is also called Teia and can be downloaded from Bandcamp. You can learn more about Teia and all of the artists that appear on this podcast by clicking on their names in this month's show notes at theremin30.com. After the break, I'll visit with my special guest, Mike Beauchamp, designer of the Theravox electronic musical instrument. So stay tuned. Hey, this is Rick Reed, producer and host of the Theremin 30 podcast. Did you know that you can advertise with Theremin 30? You can place banner ads on the website or even get a commercial played right here in the middle of the show. It's a great way to promote products, services, and events to the Theremin community. And honestly, this show does not have a huge audience, at least not yet. But that means it doesn't cost much to get involved. You can find rates and details at theremin30.com. In the olden days, before the pandemic, I used to use my vacation time to travel to a few different music conventions and trade shows. One of the coolest instruments I got to try out at a couple of the events was the Theravox. The Theravox is made in Tecumseh, Ontario, Canada, which is not far from Detroit, Michigan. Its inventor is Mike Beauchamp, and he is my special guest this month. Thank you so much for being on Theremin 30.
I'm happy to be here, Rick. Thanks, man.
A few years ago, I was at Moogfest, and I saw one of your instruments called a Theravox, and I was really fascinated with it. Can you tell our listeners what is a Theravox?
The Theravox is an instrument that I've been making for a really long time. The current model that you saw at Moogfest is sort of my interpretation of an En Martinot mixed with a classic synthesizer, say like a Korg MS-20 or a Mini Moog. The En Martinot is played with your finger through a ring that's connected to a string, and your finger is underneath sort of like a mock keyboard that has divots for each semitone. So you're moving the pitch by moving your finger to these divots, and underneath your left hand is a touch-sensitive piece that moves up and down, and it controls the amplitude. That's sort of equivalent to like what your left hand would be doing with a theremin, but it offers sort of like a squishy resistance, so you're not just moving your finger, but you're pushing down harder and harder to make the sound go louder. And on the Theravox specifically, I have two of those and two separate oscillators, so you're playing two voices at the same time, and one of them can be disconnected from the ring, so it can be at like a preset pitch, so it doesn't always have to follow the ring, and it can sort of play accompaniment or bass notes at the same time.
Now, how does the Theravox relate to the theremin, besides the similarity in names?
So I guess that's when I'd have to go back to the history of it. Probably like in the 90s, I was playing like an indie rock band, and on stage I had a single antenna theremin. I believe I got it from a company called Theramaniacs. And I was mostly kind of using it for sound effects at the time through like a tape echo. As I got more familiar with it, I was sort of starting to play more melodic small sections and quickly realizing that it's a very hard instrument to play. Well, sort of trying to play guitar at the same time, there's too many things moving around, so it's very hard to get pitch right. So I kind of abandoned that, and then on Saturday Night Live, I think it was, I saw Johnny Greenwood from Radiohead playing, and this was, I think, just when Kid A came out. What I didn't know at the time, but he was playing an En Martinot. All I saw was a shot of him making a very theremin-like sound, but his finger was in this metal ring and he was moving his finger on this mock keyboard and pointing to the notes he wanted. So, you know, I had no idea what that was. So I went down into my parents' basement, and probably in the next year I started building sort of what I thought this thing was. So I took like an old function generator circuit, and I took a washer from a hose, the little green plastic washer, and that's what I put my finger around, and I put some string around it, and I had this instrument that did kind of what I needed it to do. And I guess that's why I called it a Theravox, because, you know, I was going for the voice of a theremin. I'd say that was maybe 2001, and I put it up on my personal website at the time, and I'd gotten an email from somebody, and he ran a website that was dedicated to the instrument, the electrotheremin. Are you familiar with that one, Rick?
Paul Tanner, I think, made that for the Beach Boys?
Yeah, so after he messaged me, then I sort of had an idea for, I'm like, wow, so there is an instrument. It's a continuous pitch instrument. So then I started building things more similar to Paul Tanner's electrotheremin. And that's sort of when the name Theravox kind of stuck, because it made sense. So probably for the first 10, 12 years, I was building small batches for people, mostly in Beach Boys cover bands, of one-off electrotheremins. Then I stopped doing it in 2007. And then I started learning about the En Martineau. And then I sort of went back to the original ring design and then came back to the En Martineau sort of interface, because I did think that made more sense compared to Paul Tanner's electrotheremin.
The En Martineau and the theremin, although they were developed independently at roughly the same time period, they both use heterodyning to create their sound. Did you incorporate that into your instrument?
It's definitely one of the things that I tried. Because of the accuracy required on the En Martineau, I just found the stability over temperature and over time just wasn't there unless you sort of retuned the instrument pretty regularly. So I went with a more traditional analog VCO type circuit that you find in like a synthesizer from the 70s.
What does the Theravox sound like?
Theravox sounds very sort of ethereal, angelic, but then it can also sound scary as hell. One person sort of described it as being able to do the sound of a like air raid siren. When you do hear it in films like The Handmaid's Tale, it's sort of just this pitchy, dramatic, reverb-drenched. You can play it in a way that can sort of make things sound like they're not going quite right. That's the amazing flexibility that you have with an instrument that is a continuous pitch instrument, like the theremin or the Theravox. You're not constrained. You know, but it can also be played just beautifully and vocally, and again, sort of similar to a theremin.
What is the ET5 model that you're working on?
The ET4 I designed in 2010, 2011, and I've been making that for 8 or 9 years now. I was sort of collecting feedback from people that use it over time on the little extra features that they thought that it should have. Last year, I went to California and got to meet with some customers there. And while I was talking to them, I was sort of making notes of all the suggestions that they had with this instrument. And on the flight back, I think all 6 or 7 hours, I was just scribbling away in my notebook with ideas for this instrument. And I came back this year and I'm in the process of finishing up the first prototype. It's very similar to the ET4. It's just every part of the ET4 is being sort of reconsidered and it's being improved if there's a way to improve it. Small things that didn't get used by people are being removed in favor of new features that people have suggested and I think they're going to use. And the idea is to sort of just take what the ET4 was, but to just continue it and further it and make it better.
Now, is this something that I can just walk into a store and buy, or do you make the instrument as they're ordered?
Since I've started making the ET4s, there's always been a waiting list, and sometimes it's been short, where if somebody needs one right away, I can get it to them within a month. But we have had a deal with a few stores. Noisebug in Los Angeles carries them when I do have stock, so you can order them directly from them when I do have enough available for them.
So if somebody is interested in purchasing one of your instruments and you've got this ET5 in the works, can they get on a new waiting list for the new instrument?
Right now, I'm taking names for the ET5 waiting list, and I'm also sending out an email to everybody every month or so to kind of let them know how the development's coming and asking for feedback. And they can just go to theravox.com. They won't see anything about the ET5 yet, but you can just contact me through there and you can see all the details for the ET4 to kind of give you an idea of what the instruments are and what the price ranges are and what kind of features there are.
That's theravox.com.
Exactly. The other thing I want to mention too, Rick, I'm going to put up on our Instagram page a copy of the book. I have it right here. It's called Us Conductors. Have you heard of that book?
I have.
I think your listeners would really like it because of the theremin content. So I have a copy of this. I've read it. It's an awesome book. And I'm going to put it up on Instagram for your listeners. And if they want to just drop their name in the comments, I'll pick a one to win the book and I'll mail it out to them.
Oh, that sounds great. Thank you.
The Instagram page is TheravoxHQ. That's @TheravoxHQ.
Mike, thanks so much for coming on to the podcast to tell us about the TheraVox.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. I really appreciate it.
To learn more about the TheraVox and to follow Mike's Instagram account for a chance at snagging that book you mentioned, follow the links in this month's show notes. Unfortunately, we don't have time to squeeze in another full song, so I'm going to finish out the show with an excerpt from a live improvised performance by TheraVox player Pat McMaster. You can watch the video of his full performance on the Theremin 30 YouTube playlist. And that is all the time we have for this September 2020 edition of the Theremin 30 podcast. I want to thank Alex Mazanovich, Taya Antimo, and Pat McMaster for sharing their music, and of course Mike Beauchamp for telling us all about the TheraVox. Coming up in the October episode, we'll get into the Halloween spirit a bit, with music from Simon Beck, the Divine Hand Ensemble, and maybe you. If you've got an original Theremin recording you'd like me to play in the podcast, contact me through the Facebook page or the website. And if you've been enjoying the podcast over the last year and a half, I would really be grateful if you would recommend it to your friends. I'm trying to decide if I want to continue the show after the Theremin 100th anniversary wraps up at the end of this year. Helping me to attract a bigger audience and more Theremin recording artists would be an effective way to twist my arm. You can also drop a small gift in the virtual tip jar on the website. No tip is too small, or too big for that matter. Until next time, I'm your host, Rick Reed. Remember to wear a mask in public and try to keep people out of your control zone.
You've been listening to the Theremin 30 podcast. Visit Theremin 30 on the web at theremin30.com.